is when you have to, even if it's yeshiv bogus, but it has to be some type of interaction. Sorry, you go to make a living, doesn't he? He has to leave his house. He has to make a living in these people. So what is the second class?
Yeah.
That's right. It's a society. There's two types of evil society. One type of evil society is where they just don't care. They just don't care about just nefesh abahami. They don't care about what you do. They don't care what they do.
Do your own thing.
That's American society is the first society. See, American society is the first society. But then there's another kind of society, a society in which they can't tolerate that somebody else might be living a just life. See? Yeah, Russia. Russia would be a good example of that. So, what? They should actually go out in the desert and live there. That's the only answer. Because a person is concerned about his soul, doesn't want to throw it away, so he won't stay there. Right? That's what the Rambam says. Okay. All right. So the Rambam gives us a prescription for our society here. Huh? Yeshiv bodad v'yudayim. That's what the Rambam says. Okay. In a society, even in a medina, for instance, where you have good people, the Rambam doesn't say to people there's no one good there. There are good people there, but the general trend of the society is a bad one. So you should remove yourself from that society. And if you have no choice, every place is that way. So then you should stay by yourself, isolate yourself from society, and of course, what you should do is try to associate only with those people who will perfect you. And this way, you'll be able to improve yourself. That's the advice Rambam gives. That's the recommendation. That's the only logical thing to do. Okay? Yeshev bodad v'yidayim. What does it mean, yeshev bodad? Yeshev levadai. Why did the Rambam have to say? Rambam says, yeshev levadai yechidi. Rambam should have said, just keep away from the people and go stay with those people from whom you can benefit. Doesn't say that the Medina there's nobody good there. See? Right? He's talking about the Medina he's talking about. He's not talking about individuals. Right? So then Yeshev, and he quotes a pasuk, Shenemar, Yeshev Bodod V'yidayim. What is it? There's an implication, I think, in this. There's an implication over here that the Rambam is trying to convey. What is he trying to convey? What is Rambam trying to convey here?
What does it mean?
Hanegdoim. That's right. You have bodad yeshev michutz lamachaneh meishavai. Who's that talking about? It's talking about a metzera. Bodad yeshev michutz lamachaneh meishavai. And by avelas, hanek daim. So what is the implication over there? Yeshev bodad v'yidayim. There's an implication given by the pasuk. What? What's the implication? The implication is that it's a certain state of mind, like avelas. See, avelus is a certain state of mind that a person feels in a certain way. He feels isolated from the rest of society. Everybody's happy. He's alone. He's sad. He's alone, you see? Or by Metzerim. Bodad yeshev mechutz lamachana meshova, because he's over in a very. He's chayef to be excommunicated. So really, it's a state of mind, yeshev bodad v'yidayim. Which means that in that society, when the Rambam says, Yeshev levadai yechidi. What does it mean, Yeshev levadai yechidi? Yeshev levadai yechidi means he should think of himself as being alone and isolated from the whole society. If he doesn't adopt that mental attitude, you see, then he's going to be caught by the society. He has to be in a state of Yeshiv Bodad v'yidayim. What about the other just people that he has? The answer is that a person. What about the other just people? What's the answer? See, there's one psychological thing that the Rambam is telling us. There's one psychological rule. This whole Rambam is based on a psychological principle. What is a psychological principle? What's a psychological principle? Psychological principle is what? Identification is right, but it's identification on two levels. See, a person doesn't consider himself apart from his friends, his immediate friends. A person is a part of two groups, really. his immediate friends, individuals, but he also is a part of a society. And it's natural for a person to feel a part of a society. He has a need to be a part of a society, you see? And therefore he's going to adopt the society in which he finds himself. That's his nature. So a person has two identifications. Actually, it's three. It's he himself, you see, then himself with his friends, and then insofar as he's a part of society. What the Rambam says is like this, Yeshev Bodod V'Yido means... insofar as his emotional need to be a part of the larger circle, which is society, in that for that psychological need, there must be a response. Either it's satisfied, you see, or else it's badad. See, badad is really the frustration of the need to be a part of the society. See, there must be some answer to it. If he, there's only going to be one or two reactions. Either he satisfies it mentally, the person has a need for that. Or else, if he doesn't satisfy it mentally, then he has to substitute something else. A state of frustration, which is badad. So when he thinks about himself, for instance, a person has a need to be with other people. That's a natural part of Briyasa Shaladam. A person has to have somebody else. What happens when a person doesn't have anybody else? So he feels lonely. Loneliness is a reaction, the state of frustration for the need of being with another person, right?
But then he's
so therefore, the Rambam, that's what the Rambam says, Yeshev Bodad V'Yidom, insofar as his need for a society. A person's psyche is constructed in a way that he needs that. That's something that has to be satisfied. So he has to experience frustration. The experiencing of frustration with regard to that need is Yeshev Bodad V'Yidom. He must feel that way. He must feel alone. A person doesn't feel that way in an unjust society, then he should know he's definitely partaking of their values and he's being influenced by them. Insofar, not only insofar as their actions, but insofar as the very value system is concerned. If you don't experience that feeling of Bodad, feeling of being alone, then it means he's being influenced. That's what the Rambam says. Chacham also, because the Rambam says that even a person is it's the nature of a person. Even a person is a chacham has a need for friends. The Rambam says, and he's a need for family, a need for society. Chacham isn't a person that doesn't have any human needs. He's a person that functions his activities are based on something different part of him than the average person, but he still has human needs. So it's true. A chacham will also have to have the feeling of being badad in such a society. No question about it. The difference between a chacham between a person that's on a lower level.
Chacham can deal with his frustration.
The difference would be a chacham. For a chacham, it's a natural result that he's going to feel alone. The person on the first step, he's going to have to put himself in that state of mind. Because he really doesn't feel alone at this point, because he could identify very easily with the society. You know what I mean? In other words, he's capable of identifying. So he has to implement the Yeshev Bodad V'Yidom. Whereas the Chacham doesn't have to implement. For the Chacham, it's a natural feeling. That's why he's going to feel Bodad. He's going to have to feel Bodad, because he sees that the things which are most important in his life, he looks around, people don't share this. So there's only one thing, he's alone. He has to feel a little lonely. See? Right. Of course, that's not right. Right. So why, as a matter of fact, that answers the question. So why is it necessary for a person to go to live in a good society? Or as I told you, a good society has a positive input over here. He doesn't have a positive input. But it's true that the person will definitely not be satisfied psychologically. So that's why it's not good. He's going to have to sacrifice psychological happiness to a certain degree. But it's a question of which is worse. Should he satisfy himself psychologically and destroy his soul? Or should he suffer psychological frustration? So the Rambam says that the intelligent person will say, I'd rather suffer psychological frustration in this situation, which is also not good, because if you suffer psychologically, so it impedes you in terms of your development also. But you have no choice. That's why it's not the right, that's why it's not a good thing. But you have no choice in this situation. To destroy yourself philosophically would be worse. Yeah. the greatest sadik in the situation. So be satisfied with being a lesser sadik. Police don't get yourself destroyed. That's the intelligent thing to do.
Yeah.
Right. Like Meir.
Right.
That the society prevented him from becoming the from reaching a higher level, and that was it. So he couldn't reach a higher level. So say is that since it doesn't apply to us because we're on the level of Chachamim, so the practicality certainly should be felt with regard to our children. I mean, there's no question about it.
So we should take our children backpacking.
So even if we can fool ourselves with regard to ourselves, you should realize that this emotionally can't fool yourself. Now, with regard to a child, a youngster, the kid's growing up, 13, 14, 15, doesn't have any real knowledge yet. Even younger. The influence of society is really detrimental. You have to close them off from the effects of the society. That's what the Rambam says. A person shouldn't fool himself into thinking that he doesn't really have this need for the identification with society. Most people don't. You have to understand, like there's an interesting Rambam in the Hagdama, in the Pirush Mishnayos La Rambam. So the Rambam says in Perek Hamishi of Shmona Prakim in his Agdama to the Pirkei Avos, he said around and said like this. He talks about over there, Sarach Lodom she Yeshabed Kochos Nafsho Kulam Lefiadas Mashik Damnu Perek Shlefnesa. Alright? The Yosim Leneged Einov Tomit Tachlas Achas. He only has to have one purpose. Who are Sogas Hashem Yisborach Kefi Yecholos Adam Ladas Aisov. There's only one purpose in life, and that's knowledge of God. The Yasin Pulosov, Kulam, Tinuosov, Nuchosov, Achol Dvarov, Nevi'im Zeh Tachlis. That everything should bring to that purpose. And the Rambam goes through a whole thing, you know, he gives you a lot of details on how to do it. And then he goes further, he says like this, he says, he mentions Kemase Esram Loisasu, and then the stories of Sodom, and all these things. He says the reason why the Torah did it was keep away from these bad things. Now he says like this, he says when a person really places his intent upon this thing, Yevatel mepulosov, v'yechsar mima'amoro harbe ma'od, he says. So Yevatel mepulosov means the things that he does will be diminished. You see, and v'yechsar mima'amoro, and from his speech, there will be lacking harbe ma'od, very much. The Rambam says. He says, because a person who really intends to live this way, that his purpose is really knowledge of God, he says, Lo yisora lefateya chakos lembezov. He won't want to cover the walls with gold. Olasos rikum zov bebegodav anoim. Won't be interested in what type of wallpaper he has or in what type of clothes he wears. The Rambam says. So what the Rambam's saying as an example is that the person will not be involved. Many things that people spend their lives in doing, he just doesn't have any part in these actions. He's not involved. So he, in other words, a large percentage of activity is missing. That's what the Rambam says. And speech also. A lot of talk is missing. Just most of the things that people talk about, he doesn't talk about it. He's missing speech, absence of a lot of speech. Absence of a lot of speech and the absence of a lot of action. That's what the Rambam says. He's in a state of reduced activity. That's what the Rambam describes it. The Rambam says, Im lo yachavim bazeh, the Rambam continues. I'm going to stop here. A lot of people would be very upset. But the Rambam continues. Im lo yechavim bozeh laharchiv nafsho kedei shetavri. The Rambam says, unless the only reason he does it is in order that he should be healthy. See? The yarchik kol yo ad she tia behiro zako lekabal hachachmas. Hu amram zal. Dira no ve isha no. Omita mitzas tamidi chachomim. Is the Gemara says is so the Gemara says that the person, nice house, it's miyashiv daita shalodam. So of course, this is the area that people find a way to to get involved in these things. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm only doing it because so I could really enjoy learning. I mean, just miyashiv daita shalodam. Question is why most of the time is spent in that area. But that's the way a person can fool himself. But the Rambam says, interestingly enough, the Rambam says that he says that this is a person who does this, he says, Vaz Yashiv, he says he explains that a person has to be in a state in which the instincts are quieted. The best way I can put it, which the instincts are in a state of quiet. So he tries to attain a certain state of mind. That's what the Rambam says. And he says, Lisasek, Kentricha, he says, V'oz Yashiv Lemozgo Hashavet. Then he'll be well. Kentricha Nefesh Gamken Lisasek Benucha Sachushim Be'iyun Lepituchim Uleinyonim Hanoim Ache Yosem Imeno Haleus. Aleus. He quotes the Gemara. He says, the Gemara says, Ki avachal shi rabbanim igirsayu, when the rabbanim got tired from learning, learned through a sugya, it's exhausting, feel tired afterwards, havi amri milsa de b'dichasa. So they would say, you make a joke. He says, the yachshov she al tzeh atzad lo yiyu eila ro'os v'lo maisa hevel. He says, in those situations, he says, a person makes a joke, it's not a bad thing. He says, Ratzaloma, siyas hapituchim vatziyurim bevinyonim ubekelim ubegodim. All these things, a person does it for that purpose, he says, it's not a bad thing, he says. The Dai says, shezos hamadrego hi madrego elyoina ma'oid vachamuda. Very high level and one that is very desirous for a person to strive for. Lo yasigua ala ma'at mizer. Only very few people will attain that level, Rambam says. See? Va'achar hergel gadol. And after much work. See? Okay. U'kishi yizdame mitzias ha'odom shezein, you know? Ani omer shehu lamatam an anavim. A person like that is one step below Nevoah. That's what Rambam says. And the Ram goes on. Okay. So, of course, the Ram's in Perek Hamishi of Shemana Prah. So, what the Rambam is describing here is a situation where a person he's involved in, to a certain extent. Of course, the extent is the difference. But it's not just the extent. The extent is certainly a difference. If a person is doing something as a means, that person's not going to spend that much time in it. The person, that's why the Rambam says before, that he will be in a state of reduced activity. But in the reduced activity, in the little activity that he does have, the purpose is in order to bring himself into a good psychological frame of mind. You know? Okay. So, in a good psychological frame of mind. Now, but there is a qualitative difference. The Rambam says a very high level. Very high level. That's so high. Most people think that that's what they're doing. So, the difference, I'll tell you what the difference is. Difference is like this. That the Rambam is talking about a person who makes an intellectual judgment in the matter. See, the person, it means like this, it means a person, the average person, responds to his desires. Just reacts to his desires. Satisfies them. Rambam is talking about a person who has the ability to stop, recognize the desire, and to make a conscious calculation and use his chokhmah to remove himself totally from the influence of the desire and the impact of the desire, and just to reflect and to think logically as to how much I need in order to keep myself satisfied.
Basically, no response.
That is the difference. The difference isn't just in the quantity. The difference is in the way the person looks at his own situation, studies himself. It means the person has the ability, he senses desires in himself, and then the normal trend of a person is just to be influenced by the desire and just to follow through. The action is just to follow through from the desire. That, the Rambam says, that of course is the average person. The Rambam says, lo yasigu ma'at mizair, only very few people reach that level. The reason is because the person is functioning on a totally different level altogether. It means the person senses a certain desire, and then he withdraws completely. The influence of the desire is totally nullified. And he uses his intellect, you see, to decide, to estimate, and to evaluate. Just like a general evaluating war, what exactly, how many troops you send to what this and this place. He can evaluate exactly how much do I need in order to make myself sad. Let me understand my mind. How does my mind work? And through knowledge, you see. And then, so I'll allow myself this much because this will put me in that state. It's a totally, I want you to understand, it's a totally different level the Rambam is talking about. That's why the Rambam says the person is lamatim and anavim. The Rambam's not talking about just an average person that tells himself, you know, I'm doing this because, of course, I need this, maybe, you know, so I need the outlet. So famous statement there. So the Rambam's not talking about it. The Rambam's talking about a person who really can remove himself totally from the situation and just operate on the basis of his mental evaluation. And just gives himself a prescription, like a doctor that would give himself a prescription, exactly, Ram equates it to medicine. This is how much I need in order to keep myself on this level. Why do I mention this? Because insofar as what we learned before, the same thing is true. When you have harchek mishochein ra. See, a lot of these things, a person feels, harchek mishochein ra, that's it. But the truth of the matter is, what Yadis advises is that a person should be able to recognize in himself the need for these, for the desire to identify with the community. If he just feels, yeah, of course, you know, he's begging me, I can't have to reduce the influence of the community. That's no good. He has to recognize the need, see, and then he has to recognize, once the need is recognized, shouldn't fool himself, think, they don't bother me, I'm not affected by that. See? That's a fool. A person has to recognize what his psychological structure is, and then he has to give himself the prescription. If there's a recognition, then he has the prescription is yeshiv bodad v'yidam. You know what I mean? That's the, it should be brought out. That's what the Rambam Kirkevis tell us. You know what I mean? It should be brought out. It shouldn't be allowed. You shouldn't allow it just to roll by, slip by. You know, yeah, of course, society is big. Can't be influenced by that. Now, you have to recognize your own need for the society, recognize that part of yourself, and substitute yeshiv bodad v'yidayim. Must be done in a conscious way, just like the Rambam over there says. A person has to recognize, has to be able to withdraw and study himself objectively, and to be able to see exactly what his needs are. And give himself a prescription for exactly what he needs, what's necessary for himself in order to keep himself in a state that lends itself to perfection. Just briefly, the important thing that what we were discussing before is that a person should not leave anything to the subconscious. So you have to make it conscious. You have to make it conscious and be aware of it. Okay. Yeah, I think perceive this problem. Because the Benyan is like this. About the Schabal of Russia, he says, in the first case, Harchek Mishochen Roy says, L'secha Batim, the person that's going to look for an apartment. But in the second one, Alta Schabala Rashi, he says, Shehu Einish Godol, She'ein Kemoso. If a person is in Schabala Rashi, why? He says, Ki Acheta Chomer Poshabo, Osa Avera Achas, Avalze, Ki Acheta Chomer Poshabo, Osa Avera Achas. If a person sins, he does one avera. Aval zeh b'chol averas she'osa ha'rasha yesh lo chelek b'hen. V'nimtza osa chatoyim rabim gedolim v'atzumim. V'im yodav asurim v'lo nena mehem. Even if he doesn't have any benefit from them. V'oyla rasha ayla shcheina. Ki hu chayte shcheina menugad. Shekinim ufurish bavis at the Reb Nosson. Kolam adabek l'arashoyim af pishin oiske maiseyim. Noitel socher ki yotze b'hem. Okay, that's it. That's it. Okay. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Al Teshchabel L'Rasha is a different thing altogether. Al Teshchabel L'Rasha is not referring, the first situation is referring to insofar as you will be affected directly. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be affected. In the second mimer, Al Teshchabel L'Rasha, over there what he's saying is that if you join with a Russia, so everything he does, you get punished for, because you're a part of his actions. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. What does he mean? So what does it mean? The enjoyment out of the Averi, so still you get an Einish for it. Why? Because he means...
got to a lower level.
No, he means that you are assisting the Russia. In other words, if you're a Mishabal a Russia, so you assist him. You see, a person is a Russia, now you go and you're being Mishabal, you help him in business or whatever it is. So now, whatever you do, you're helping him. So therefore, all the evil that he does can be traced back to you. So it's a totally different thing. He's not discussing about your own imperfection. He's discussing about a particular type of action which is very harmful, which is more harmful than you doing an Averi yourself. He says, because if you do an Averi yourself, so you did one Averi, okay? But he says, in the second case, even though you don't do the Avera, by the mere fact that you're Mishabal of Russia and you assist the Russia, so therefore whatever he does, you have a chelikin. In other words, if you go into business with a Russia and it's going to be a successful business, and then the Russia is capable of doing more evil, harming more people, so you, because of what you Mishabal with him, you helped him do all these things. So therefore, whatever he does, you get an einish for. That's what he says. Al Teshchabel L'Rasha. It's a different thing altogether. Same thing as moving into a neighborhood where there are Rishayim. That's not called Al Teshchabel L'Rasha. I live in a neighborhood, I don't help the Rasha. The only thing is I might be influenced by him. But Teshchabel L'Rasha means to have a...
Direct association.
Means to have a common, to have a bond with the Rasha. To work with him. To be with him. To go into business with him. To be a partner with him. That's the he says a very bad thing, because whatever the rush does, so then you're responsible for, because you helped him, you assisted him. Okay, it's a different thing altogether.
What?
It's because you're promoting evil. You're promoting evil, even though it's indirectly, but you're still promoting evil. So therefore, a person shouldn't do that. Okay. The Rambam, however, doesn't learn that way. See, the Rambam doesn't learn that way, because the Rambam says, "Al Teshchabel L'Rasha b'min echad mimine ha'ava." By the way, he has it. Be'ezu min. Okay. V'chevra. K'dei shlo tilmad mimasa, the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't learn that way. The Rambam says, no, that you shouldn't learn from his actions. Okay. K'var bi'arnu perkma kodim, that a person learns from the defects of his chaver. So the Rambam doesn't learn like Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam is different pshat. Rabbeinu Yonah is very good. Why? It's a separate thing. But according to the Rambam, why is it different than Hachik Meshachan Ra? Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Shachan Ra? Sounds like this. There's two ways that a person identifies. One way is through with another person. One way is through situation. It's the first way. Through situation. That's Shachan Ra. The other way is through actions. Through an action. Person identifies through an action. So when the Rambam is like this, Hachek mi Shachan Ra means keep away from the same situation. Because if you're in the same situation, so then you're going to identify via the situation. That's the first thing. You see? That's Shachin Ra. That's why when the Rambam says that a person should always be with the Chachamim over there in the Hilchus Deis, he doesn't mean in terms of an action. He means you should always be there. Always be in the environment of the Chachamim.
Situational.
And keep away from the environment of Rishoyim, of wicked individuals, right? And the same thing insofar as a Medina. What's a Medina? The situation has an effect upon a person that he identifies with that situation. But Al Teshchabel L'Rasha, the Rambam says, means something else. It means through an action, a common action. For instance, the Rambam says in the first that one type of friendship is a chaver for convenience. What's the first one called? Chaver. Right. Utility. Yeah, like a partner's business partner. Okay. Chaver for utility. So what the Rambam is saying is like this. It's not an environmental, situational effect, but a person's more than situation. Even a common action with a Russian, which means that if I have a business partner, it doesn't have to be a steady business partner, it means on any venture, momentary venture. I'll take a Russian on a momentary venture and I'll get involved with him. I need a partner. I'll use him. That is no good. Why? It's not really a situation. It's not a situational thing. But there's an identification because of the action. That's what the Rambam learns. The Rambam learns that there's two things. Hachek Mishachin Ra is identification because of situation. And Al Teschabal Arush is identification because of action. There's two ways that a person identifies. Rabbeinu Yehuda doesn't like that shit. Rabbeinu Yehuda thinks that Hachek Mishachin Ra includes everything. All types of identification. So he learns Al Teschabal Arush means that it's a... you shouldn't promote evil. You shouldn't promote evil indirectly through supporting a Russian. Okay. All right, that takes care of that. That's Al Teschabal Arush. Let's take the last one. V'al Tesyayish Min HaPeronis. What's Al Tesyayish Min HaPeronis? You shouldn't give up hope that an onesh will befall you. Yes. He says, Shema Ta'ashir, if you're wealthy, Al Tiftach Ba'ashacha. Don't feel secure with your wealth. Why L'fisha Peronis, the Maharis Lavai? Because tragedy can come very quickly. Lachenti yakol shaw befachad. Therefore, you should always be afraid. Lachenu Omer, Pasuk says, Ashrei Adam befachad tamid. It's good for a person that's always scared. Lachenim bo lachora al tisyaish. Lefi shayeshuva hayeshuva krovalova. He says, if something bad happens, you also shouldn't give up hope. Why? Because the salvation can come very quickly. V'cheinu omer, hein lo kotzer yad Hashem me'oshia. Right? Okay. So that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. So according to Rashi, really, al tesyayish ma peronis doesn't only mean peronis. Right? It really is al tesyayish. Right? Shouldn't think that the... what's the concept according to Rashi? What's the concept? According to Rashi, what does it mean? Things like this. What Rashi is saying is interesting. What Rashi is saying is, you see, a person does not usually view life realistically. Usually he views life in terms of certain emotions. Like, you'll see, for instance, and this is a prime area. A person will say, well, this guy's set. He's set. He made it. He's set. What does it mean, made it, set? Made it, set means that's a state of life that a person looks for. State. The person wants that state. The person looking for that state. Things are going bad, I'll say, uh-oh, that's it. That's it for me. I've had it. See? So,
That's
the way it is. You see? That's the way a person thinks. A person has these mental constellations, which he applies to life situations. Usually, he tries to find a certain type of a way to understand things, and he makes up like these plateaus. You know, this is a situation. These plateaus have really nothing to do with reality, nothing to do with reality whatsoever. It's just a certain type of emotion that he's satisfying. He's trying to find. He wants to believe that this is the way it is. See, it's good, it's bad. He doesn't want to accept reality, where reality is an actuality. So a person. As it says, Shema Ta'ashir Al Tiftach Ba'ashacha. Al Tiftach Ba'ashacha means that a person wants to feel he made it. That's it. He's looking for that state. There's no such thing. There's no such state. State doesn't exist. See, things change. He made it with regard to this. Next day he could find out that he has a heart case. I mean, what happened to his whole situation there? But a person doesn't want to believe. You see, a person doesn't want to accept the reality. And the reality is that all these things that he's operating with are just psychological fantasies. There's no such thing. One day a person will be doing terribly, the next day he'll be doing tremendously. There's nothing irrational about it, but a person tends to think that he's in a trend. He's looking for a trend, looking for a certain constancy. He wants to find something constant because a person lacks security, feels insecure. It's a funny thing, but even if he finds a bad trend, it also gives him a certain sense of security. At least he knows he's in a bad trend. This is the way things are going this way, see? Also, it's bad, but He's at least there's some rhyme and reason to this. Yeah, this is now a bed. Maybe, who knows, in 10 years from now it'll change. This is it. But a person cannot live with the way reality actually is. And to see that there's really no reason why things went bad today doesn't mean that... things are bad in general, see? Like they say, God is smiling on me. God is frowning on me. See? It's an infantile notion that he carries over from his childhood, that this is the way things are, you know? Either he likes me, or he doesn't like me. Yeah, that's not reality. Reality is that things are operating in a totally based on totally different principles. And things happen bad, and there'd be a lot of reasons why it happened. Doesn't necessarily mean that this is a trend. A person tries to find the trends. That's the trends in life. But the trends are really resulting from just psychological projections, not because they actually exist in reality. See? I want to say... That's the shot with the mice with David and Goliath. See? David and Goliath. That by Goliath it says that he walked across the camp of the Jews for 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, who can they send out to fight me? You haven't got one guy to come out and fight me? So he went every day up and back. So Shaul was very depressed. He says it was a degradation to the Jewish armies, you know. And then little David came along. He came to bring food for his brothers, you know, for fighting. So he told him, he says, I'm going to take on this Plishti. So Shaul said, what do you mean? How could you? So he told him, he said, well, I killed a lion and I killed a bear, you know. So Shaul said, okay. He put on Shaul's clothes. And he couldn't walk. It was too heavy. It's a little guy, you know. So he said, "No." He said, "Let me go my own way." Told Shaul. So Shaul apparently was convinced that he wasn't a fool. You know, he knew what he was doing. He had some plan, some idea. So he went out against the Plishti. So when Goliath saw him, Goliath said, "He says, what am I? He says, a killer that you send a little kid out for me." So he says, "I'll soon take your body and I'll give it to the." To the Bema Sasoda and Leif HaShemayim. So it's interesting. Chazal said when David heard that, he says, now I know I got him. He said, because he said, Bema Sasoda. And he says, Bema Sasoda, don't eat flesh. So apparently this guy is really angry. You know, he's not thinking about what he's saying. So he says, that's one thing on my side. That emotionally he's...
I got him.
Yeah, he's away from his reasoning powers. You see? But, you see, that's what Chazal say. It's an interesting Chazal. I pointed out Chazal. I'll show you why. Because the truth of the matter is that what was so frightening about this Goliath was he presented an awesome figure. Powerful, powerful man. Now that figure, that powerful figure, is like people say, this guy's a bull, he's an ox, you see. That idea is that he's impenetrable. See? It's a flaw. David recognized that that's a fallacy. There's no such thing. What do you mean an ox? There's no such thing. Powerful guy. It all is a matter... it's a matter of what in reality exists here. Now, he may be strong with regard to one thing, but the fact remains that the strongest guy is capable of being destroyed by the smallest thing. I mean, a germ can kill the most powerful guy. See? So, reality doesn't really verify this type of thinking. But people are very impressed with this. Somebody is very impressive. Ah, he's unbelievable. See? What do you mean? If you would just assess and evaluate what he has, then you would see it's just one thing. But people, they paint the general picture. This general picture that they paint of an impenetrable type of being is only a figment of their imagination that they're projecting. It doesn't exist. So David looked at him. Yeah, he's very tall. He probably could rip out a few trees. But let's understand if that has anything to do with whether he could be killed or not. So he took the pebble, and the one weak spot penetrated his brain, and he fell right down. The whole ox was gone. See? So that was the thing. David, what the godless of David was that he wasn't impressed with this whole aura, see, this facade. He just looked at reality the way it was, and he looked at reality. He saw that logic dictates that this powerful guy, no matter how strong he is, but the brain matter isn't going to be any stronger. And therefore, if a pebble in the brain matter will cause them to fall.
Another example, see? Geology.
That's the same type of thing over here. That people project onto reality certain things that come from the infantile fantasy. You know what I mean? And therefore, they react to it in that way. That's Al Tesyayish, according to Rashi, that's Al Tesyayish Min HaParayis. Don't be impressed by these auras, which don't exist. They're just something you're projecting onto reality. Evaluate reality the way it is. So people, he's a wealthy guy, he made it. I mean, he made it. What did he make? What situation is he? I mean, he's in a situation that he's invulnerable. He's definitely going to have a very happy life. No, one second. What does he have? The man has one thing. All right, financially, he doesn't have to worry about finances. That's it. But this whole, you see, to take the area and to spread it out and to try to make a whole situation out of it, this is a fantasy of the mind. That's what Nita Abulai said. That's right. Okay. One learns different shot in Al-Tasyashman Apprentice. Because according to Rashi, of course, Al-Tasyashman Apprentice has to be both ways. That when something's good, you shouldn't create this whole aura of, and also when something's bad, you should look at it in terms of reality. But the Rambam learns different shot. The Rambam learns that the Shashman of Pranis means only Pranis. And the Rambam says, V'omar, kishetechte, otirachote, if you see a person sin, lo tiftach v'tomar, shashem yisbarach, lo ya'ani shehu, ela ba'olam abo. You shouldn't say God will only punish him in the next world. What is this lashon over there? Lashon is a little better. He says that the second, he says, you shouldn't say that Hashem is going to punish him in the next world, but you shouldn't think that he won't get punished in this world. That's what the Ram means. Totally different idea. What does the Ram mean? Why do I care if I think the person is going to get punished in the next world? Yeah? Very bad thing? Okay, I'll think of it next week. All right. Start off with the concept of the macho, the image, which is a falsification of reality. And we said that was the mice with David and Goliath, that he wasn't, the image didn't affect him any. It was an image of a powerful man. So a certain fear was conveyed by that image, but David Malach realized that the image is just a fantasy of the mind. I mean, just look at reality. In terms of reality, if you can hit him in his weak spots and then he falls just like anybody else. That was the thing. And also with reality, with regard to the... See, he also, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that the... he talks about with the rush is being very successful. He says, Odeno ome bishalva. This rush is still in a state of security. Shalom is chakas lo means it's a good time for him. He's very successful now. So now is a good time to be with a guy, and once his good mazel passes, then I'll keep away from him. Suddenly it'll come. Now what's the shot? The shot is that in reality works differently. Works by different mechanisms. This concept of a man being in a certain state and this state being perpetuated is only a figment of the mind. A person is invited to the home of a very renowned and successful individual, so he gets the feeling that this can't topple very quickly. Truth of the matter is that you have to know the reality of the situation. So there's a certain impression that is conveyed by the situation due to a person's psychological projections on reality. So the Schabbal of Russia means don't be fooled by those psychological projections which give you a feeling of false security. You see, that's what the we should go according to reality. That's the same thing with the mice of David and Goliath. Okay, that's what we ended off with last week. But we. Okay, it's particular to a Russia, because a Russia means an individual who is functioning in a situation where it's threatening, because of the fact that he's functioning in a corrupt way, and things catch up with him. That's true insofar as the physical situation is concerned. Like a person who is fraudulent in a society, like the Gemara says, Seif Ganef L'Tliya, that the end of the Ganef is they hang him. So it's true of those people who, in a society that is law-abiding, that attempt to circumvent the law, that such a Russia, it's true with regard to that situation also, that eventually they investigate him and he has to come to terms with reality. See? But it's true also with regard to the soul as well, that a person can, there's a time where a person thinks that he's being successful and with evil. But the truth of the matter is that since the human soul has a certain type of makeup, and it can be only be satisfied through a certain reality, that's the whole basis of Yadus, so avoiding that reality only means that the man is covering over the harm which is being done, and eventually he's going to have to face it. So a person could go on for years fooling himself, but eventually the results of his actions will catch up with him, because the basic concept in Yadus is that a person's soul has a specific structure just like his body. And the Rabbeinu Yonah mentions that also. He says that Pasuk says Valinya Zama Shlomo Yeroes Hashem Bini Umelachim Shonim Altis Arev Ki Pisom Yokum Edom Ufid Shneem Miyodea. So he says like this: Somach Yeroes Hashem Bini Umelach El Yeras Melach Bos of Adam. Okay. He says he has a marshal. The marshal is between the yiras aguf, the physical fear, physical harm, which is nearest la'ayin, which is readily observable. He uses as a marshal to the yiras hanefesh hane'elemes, to the fear of harm for the soul, which is ne'elemes, which a person can't see visually. So a person, it's easier for a person to fool himself in the area of his soul than it is of his body, because the body is more readily observable. But the same, he uses that as a mushel, the same phenomena take place. Just like a person who lives in a bad way in terms of his physical health. So at first he thinks he's gaining, because he perceives pleasures in the way he's eating and drinking, whatever he's doing, he feels great. But then, after years, and now they discover that there are ailments that could take 20 years to develop. After that time, he finds that he's in trouble, you see, because the body has a certain structure, and if you violate that structure, so it cannot lead to a state of health. Similarly with the soul also has a certain structure, and a violation of the health of the soul will necessarily result in the person's unhappiness, which is the result of living improperly, which is the result of living improperly. So he used that as a mushel. The same thing is true with regard to the soul as with regard to the body. That's the one thing I would say, that's the one idea, if a person would be able to be convinced about that idea, I think that would be the most important idea with regard to perfection. A person would be able to realize that there is a specific nature that he has. It doesn't seem like such a difficult thing. Nature that he has, and that this nature cannot be violated, you can't just treat it in any way whatsoever and expect to have beneficial results. You see, that's one idea that a person somehow or other can fool himself with regard. They don't believe it. And then when they get in trouble, instead of recognizing what the cause of the trouble is, they'll try to isolate or identify certain things in reality which are disturbing to them. See, not recognizing that the source is really the internal reality, not the external. That's an age-old problem. That concept of a person, that concept will be cleared in the person's mind. I think he would be pretty much on the road. Yeah. In the Mishle, that's quoted by the Mesil Shasharm, by the way, and very, very correctly in terms of this framework. The pasuk is v'gam ha-nefesh lo-tamale. Just to give you an example of how this, just to give you some idea, some concrete idea in order to attach your mind to it. See? The gamma nefesh, the amount of free energy that flows towards the mind. There are conditions in which tshuva is impossible. And that is where there isn't enough energy flowing towards the mind. You see? If there isn't enough energy flowing towards the mind per se, so then he can't put himself into a state of tshuva. Because the and that's why you see many people can't tolerate such a state. They must always be in an active state. They can't withdraw because there is no free energy and free energy for the mind itself. We mentioned about hypnotism. Hypnotism, we said, is the opposite state because it's a complete attachment to an external person, and there is no freedom of the mind whatsoever. Self-hypnosis is also an induced state, but even though it's self-induced, but it's not a state of reflection. It's a state of somnambulance in which the individual, on the contrary, all the critical faculties are impeded. Faculties are suspended during the state of hypnosis. Exactly the opposite. Okay. Tshuva, there's two things in tshuva. First of all, when you're in that state, so a person has a certain freedom with regard to his mental faculties, his mind, and his mind can observe things which he couldn't observe during the state of activity, where the instincts were active. Okay. Now there's two things. First is hakar sachet. You see, hakar sachet, that's just the first step, hakar sachet. Then there's charat al avar and kabbalah lasid. You know? Now kabbalah lasid means that he has to render a certain change in the self in order that when he's confronted with a similar situation in the future, his instincts will not overpower him. That has to be worked out. He has to work that out. There has to be a change. You see, he has to effectuate a change in the self. And he can only effectuate a change in the self when a person is in the state of withdrawal. See, in a state of withdrawal. Now, when he could only recognize it when he's in a state of withdrawal. Once he recognizes it, he can effectuate a change in the self. See, through knowledge. He can do it. He has to search for the cause. It's not enough to say it was a chayta. He has to search for the cause and root it out. That could take a lot of work and a lot of honesty and a lot of intelligence. Yes. A person can't always be in a state of tshuva. He would be inactive. But how often a person should place himself in a state of tshuva, really, I mean, there's no specific halacha in regard to that. It's something a person has to know with regard to himself. I mean, how often? But you can't legislate it as man, except once a year. The Torah does legislate once a year that 10 days should be designated for the process. That's certainly a minimum is man kavua. But it really should be even more than that, like anybody who studies Rav Moshe Shuva. We'll find out. But the concept of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim was to impress upon a person the importance. You see the time allotment of 10 whole days, which 10 whole days in which there's essential preoccupation is with withdrawal. I mean, the essential state is withdrawal. Sarasi Mei Tshuva really means that during those 10 days he's in the state of tshuva, essentially. Right? It's a lot of time. But that's not even enough. I mean, it's not even enough because throughout the year, there are times when he has to place himself in a state of tshuva as well. Yeah. Got to the emotion of sainthood, the essential satisfaction in sainthood is for a person to conceive of himself in a certain way. And that's his satisfaction, to think of himself. That's the end goal of sainthood. Yeah, this is the opposite, really, is the end goal. That the person's end goal should not be the conception of the self. On the contrary. In yeah, this perfection... in total perfection, the self is almost
subjugated.
Yeah, right. It's almost gone. It's almost gone.
Tefillah
and tshuva go together. Tefillah and tshuva go together. Matter of fact, the Rambam doesn't mention tainus in Hilchos Tshuva, but he mentions tainus. He mentions, but nevertheless, he does mention tshuva. And Hilchus Tainus, you see? So you see that Tainus is a part of, Tainus is tied together with Tfilich, Tfilich Yuvan Tainus. Tefillah Tshuva. Tefillah plays an important role. Excuse me? This is a Kima Tefillah, and Tefillah is a Kima Tshuva. Okay. But at any rate, the thing is that Tefillah is really a start. Because Tefillah is a withdrawal also. What is Tefillah really? Tefillah is a withdrawal from the, what we call last time, in the psychological reality into the absolute reality. That's what Tefillah is. See, three times a day, Yadas demands that a person should break that attachment from psychological reality and withdraw to the absolute, the state of absolute reality. That's what Tefillah is. Tshuva is withdrawal and self-examination so that he can reach the state of the absolute reality. See? But the Rambam, the Morris says that a person who's on the highest level, he says, doesn't really have anything to do with people. Interesting thing. Says he avoids people as much as he can. All people. What it means is that he tries, that he avoids the situation of psychological reality. So he's always in a state of absolute reality. Of course, the Rambam talks about it. The Kuzari, of course, says, the Kuzari is interesting. Kuzari talks about it also. Kuzari, of course, says that he warns a person against trying such a thing. Because he says very few people are capable of doing that. It's not something a person should try. Yeah. Can't induce it artificially, right. Yeah. The thing is that most people have a very infantile idea of tshuva. Just think, there's a bad boy, good boy tshuva. You know, it's bad and I'll be good and that's it. That's such a simple thing. A tshuva demands a certain knowledge. Lakachas chachma musa, Shlomo Melech says in the first parak of Mishlei. Chachma musa. So Chazal ask, im musa, lama chachma. Im chachma, lama musa. So Chazal say that without chachma, there's no musa. Without musa, there's no chachma. Both. It means that if a person takes musa, and Musar is tshuva, that's Musar. Musar means you are chayte. It has to be with chachma. Without chachma, nothing happens. If a person doesn't really understand why he was a chayte, doesn't understand the source of the chayte, you see, he just has this type of an infantile commitment. So these resolutions will not last very long. It's like one psychologist said, resolution is like the resolution of a drunkard. It lasts until he gets to the next bar. Real tshuva. Real tshuva is an overhaul of the personality. You know what I mean? It's an overhaul of the personality. But an individual recognizes the cause and the root of his problem. He's able to correct it. That's real tshuva. Perfection. Not everybody can reach. So certain things, certain areas a person can't do, you'll find he just can't do. Or he can't do at that state. Maybe they'll do it at a later state. But basic things, I mean, in the Torah, every normal person, the Torah is constructed in a way that's not that demanding. Every normal person can keep Tayag Mitzvahs. There's no difficulty there. If he can't, so then either he has a psychological problem, you see, or else he's a Rush, or one of the two. But and when you get to the higher areas of perfection, that not everybody, the Rambam says it many times in the Mara, not everybody can reach it. It depends upon a person's level. Even in the Yad HaZaka, doesn't the Rambam say with regard to Terah Lishma, real Terah Lishma, that Lav Kol Chacham Zechala, the Rambam says? I think the Rambam says it. You get it, Rambam? So apparently, it means, doesn't mean that he did something wrong. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. But he just did something that might be beyond many individuals' perfections. He could be a great chacham, but he might not be able inherently be able to reach that level. So that's... There are two causes for frustration in the instinctual. One cause for frustration is based upon the way the human psyche is constructed. See, the Pasuk says very good. Yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. And urav means from the earliest time of his
existence. Now, the thing is like this, that what happens is, since it's Menurav, the child forms certain libidinous attachments, see? And because of that, when he grows older, all the things he's striving for is nothing more than an attempt to retrieve a certain earlier state. See, the instincts want to return to a certain earlier state of Menurav. And that's impossible in reality. So it seeks substitutive gratification. Now, substitutive gratification is by definition not real gratification. Because inherently you can never get back. Not only that, but what happens is, in most instances, what happens is, the more he tries to get back, the further away he is. Strange phenomena. How does it work? Because the more he tries to get back, the more he fans the instinct. The more he fans the instinct, the more powerful it becomes, the more dissatisfied with the substitute. You see? So it's an inherent trap. It's an inherent trap. It's an impossible thing to gratify. Impossible. Inherently impossible. That's only, I'm just giving you a brief overview. What? Energy he involves in achieving that, let's say he becomes very specific in the gratification of a certain instinct. So that means he concentrates all his energy and directs it towards that satisfaction, right? Now, the more energy he directs towards satisfaction, the more the instinct is aroused. Like I told you, external reality can work on instincts, like the Rambam says. So, the thing is, the more that instinct becomes aroused, the more it desires the real gratification. The more the real gratification is desired, the less satisfaction from the substitute. See? That's what Shlomo Melech meant when he said, Oyev Kesev Lo Yisba Kesev. That's what he meant. That's the pasuk. It means that the irrational, insatiable desire for kesef will never be satisfied, because inherently he's driving his instinct into an area where kesef isn't really what he's after. Kesef only represents a substitute, and the more he goes after it, the more involved he becomes in it. So then the further away he is, because the instinct is, since the instinct is aroused to a greater degree, so it demands the real thing to a greater degree. So the more he goes after it, the more frustration. It's a state of inherent frustration. Yes. That's Oyev Kesev, Liyisba Kesev means the man is set on a course of frustration. Because it's what the Gemara says, Mishi Yeshleim Mana Reitzim Asayim. So it means the more involved he gets in this emotion, right? So the more involved he gets in the emotion, let's say the person gets involved in emotion to a certain degree. First he wants mana, then he gets mana, satisfied, right? But the satisfaction of that desire isn't really what he was after in his unconscious mind. So therefore, it becomes more aroused. Now he doesn't know what he's really after because he has no knowledge of himself. So what he does is, he goes again for the mirage. He goes again for the mirage, and it becomes... Exactly. And what happens is that the more successful he is, the more of it, in a state of frustration he finds himself. You see? Now it reaches a point where he can't tolerate the frustration anymore. That's why you take a look in the papers, you find people who are very successful who do away with themselves. You say, why? The guy's crazy. Why would do that? The thing is, you're not in his mental state. So, of course, you're in the state where your first step would be enough for you right now. He's more advanced. He's reached a higher level of frustration. He did the right thing. The philosopher who said doubly wretched did not recognize the dynamics of the internal psyche. Didn't recognize really the dynamics of the soul. He had no knowledge of it. The only way the person realizes a strange kind of realization, because what happens is like this. The person never really comes to the realization. See? Like you take the case with Kachi, who certainly wasn't going to become a governor, right? He didn't want to be governor. Just mayor. That he was right. It was in the Vuos Emes. But the thing is... But at one time he would have been happy with the Nevoa. Later he wasn't happy that he was such a novice. The thing is like this, that what happens is, you see, in the first step, the instinct is after an object. The person doesn't know what the object is. Now there's something in reality that's similar to it. He's convinced, therefore, that this is the object that he wants. Because after all, he's a sensible guy. So this must be it, right? This is it. He goes after it. Now, once he achieves it, you see, since that's not really what it is, he could never experience satisfaction. He must experience frustration. Now, he doesn't become aware and say to himself, hey, one second, what's happening here? If that was what I wanted, how come I'm not satisfied? No. He doesn't make that. That's a person who's about tshuva. That's tshuva. Because that means withdrawal. The person says, one second, I was involved in reality, and now I'm withdrawing. So now I'm going to see what happened. I'm going to analyze myself. Something is not logical here. Something doesn't make any sense. And we know reality works according to reason, so something's wrong. You see? That's a baal tshuva. But the average person would not do that. The average person would simply say to himself, well, he experiences frustration. That's impossible to avoid because that's part of his organism. It's frustrated. He hasn't achieved what he wanted, right? So what happens? Suddenly, on the horizon appears a new specter, you see? And that is the specter of another image, which suddenly the individual says, oh, that's it. You see? What happened in the past? There's no time for contradictions and questions. I mean, this isn't a shir, after all. You know? This is time to act. He sets up the new image. The new goal is set up right away. See? What happens is, that's right, his energy is completely in the external. It's a different idea of tshuva. Different idea of tshuva. Tshuva is based on a very important principle. Does anybody know what the principle is? What's the principle? Presupposes that a person functions in two different states. Two different states. One state is where he relates to reality. He interacts with reality based upon his functioning state. So he interacts with reality, and he functions according to the way his psyche operates or is affected or operates on or is affected by external reality. See, now that's a certain state of being. In that state, the energy of the individual is directed outward. The individual's psychic energy is directed outward, and he operates, functions in a certain manner. That's one state of operation. And a pasuk says, "Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta." Since man's nature is inherently corrupt, because of the powerful instinctual forces that exist in man, it is impossible for a person to function and yet not do chait. It's totally impossible. See, the idea of a saint is completely fallacious. It's an imagination. It's an ego desire for a person to be something that he's not. It's impossible. It's impossible because the nature of man, when he's interacting with reality, one part that is always operating, is always functioning, is the instinctual. And sooner or later, it's going to express itself. And it's going to slip by. The intellect will not be able to stop it. And it's going to slip by, and he's going to do a chait. No way out of it. But so if that's the case, and then there's no hope for man, because ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. What does min urav mean? How does Chazal translate min urav? Mishenina lotzeis mi beten imo. Early instinctual forces. The moment he's born, he's a bundle of instincts. The very motion of birth is already instinctual. Right? And those instinctual forces take hold of him from early youth. And then when the soul starts to develop, you know, or reach the state of reality from the potentiality, he's changed to reality, at a later age, these instinctual forces don't vanish. And somehow or other, they mix with the other parts. And there's always this fusion. Therefore, what happens is when the interacts with reality, you see, it's impossible. It's impossible to avoid it. It's impossible to avoid it. Even a person like Moshe Rabbeinu. But you see that Moshe Rabbeinu also Hashem. Unbelievable. One of the greatest individual that ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu, should do an aver of which involves Chil Hashem. Terrible. Impossible to avoid. Impossible for any human being to avoid. As long as he's a human being, it's impossible to avoid it. We don't have any fantasies about any of our heroes, you see. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Rambam says was the highest level that man can ever reach, he was the Because the Rambam explains, in the Ma'ariv, the Rambam explains that just like an individual has limitations, of course, he usually doesn't like to recognize these limitations, but an individual does have, every individual has limitations because he has a fixed, finite structure. Since he has a fixed, finite structure, he has to have limitations. He has physical limitations. I mean, no matter what it is, in any area, he has limitations. Similarly, he says, just like an individual has limitations, he says, a species has limitations, Ram says. The way the world is created, there are limitations of the species. That's why the Rambam says people think that part of the Mara is talking about a simple thing, a simple idea. Of course, he says, it's not a simple idea. There is no human being, he says, no matter how strong, who could be as strong as an ox. It's an impossibility. It's a physical impossibility. Because the species has a design also has a design and a structure. Just like an individual has a specific design and structure, the species has a design and structure. And the species has a limitation. So no matter how powerful a person is, how strong an individual is, or how much he might work out and build his body, you see, he'll never be as strong as an ox. It's impossible. Because there's a limit of the human species. See? So the Rambam says the same thing with human intelligence. The human species has an inherent limitation. We spoke about this many times with regard to a person's ability to comprehend the universe. So you look, Dula Sayyid Khaker. It's impossible. Because the human species has an inherent limitation. And his intelligence, it's impossible for man to ever really comprehend it. Okay? So the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the upper limit of the human species. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just an individual, it was a phenomena. He was the upper limit of the human species. Lokom b'Yisrael k'Moshe Haid. There was only one individual that reached the upper limits of the human species. Nobody could ever supersede him. Impossible. Not even to equal him. The Pasuk says, b'nevuah. Nobody will ever, that the upper level of the human species will never be reached again. That's what the Pasuk says. So the, see, so that being the case, even the upper limit of the human species, there is chait. There is chait. Why? Because of the nature of the human species. It's inherent in human nature. Of course, there are many, many differences. And really, not only quantitative differences, but qualitative differences between Moshe Rabbeinu, the upper limit, and between us, or even between a tzaddik and an average person, you see. But nevertheless, there are certain things that must exist because of the nature of the species. Because of the nature of the species. Yeah.
The question is,
so that's the case. So then, a human being is hopeless. Because ain't tzaddik bar she has tov lo yechta. So what is the only possible salvation that's for man? There's only one possible way. What's the only way to escape? Tshuva. What is tshuva? See, tshuva is where the person removes the energy from the external reality. He stops, he ceases to function. You see? He withdraws into himself. He withdraws the energy from the external, and he's not functioning anymore. Only in that state can he see things that he was unable to see in the state of interaction. See? That's really what tshuva is. Tshuva is that a different state of mind. That's what tshuva is. It's a withdrawal from the withdrawal. A person has to be in a certain state of mind for tshuva. Can't just do tshuva like this. So he has to withdraw from the whole world, from all his attachments to external reality, withdraw into himself, and just allow the mind to operate and to perceive and to conceive of all his actions and the nature of his soul. See, only when he does that does he have the ability to see a certain reality which he was unable to see in a state of interacting with reality. It's a different state of mind, totally different state of mind. That's really the benefit of tshuva. Without tshuva, a person can't possibly ever reach any type of perfection. It's absolutely impossible. That state must be, there must be the constant state of, I say constant, I mean every minute of the day. I mean constant, on a constant basis. That he withdraws, he has the ability to withdraw from reality, and just to turn the mind's eye on the inner self, you see? In that state, he can perceive imperfections that he never would perceive during the active state. It's a different state of mind. The fact that a person can do that, you see, it permits him to achieve perfection. Without that, it's impossible. Yeah. Draws, the desires are not as active because are not as potent because they're not in a state, they're not in an active state anymore. See, and then he can reflect upon them, and he can improve himself. Of course, it doesn't mean in one situation, one state, that he's going to perfect himself so quickly. He could see a little bit more than he was able to see before, and then hopefully, if a person was given 70 years. The species was allotted 70 years, so you must say there's a reason that it's designed for it. Apparently, the reason is that its perfection isn't so quick. So a person is given a certain amount of years in which to achieve it. See? Yeah. As Levi mentioned, absolutely. You see that Yom Kippur, and many hold all the Inuyim Adaraisa, the Rishonim hold the Inuyim Adaraisa, which means it's a day of Inui from Achiluch Siya, from Tashmish Amita, from Rechitza, from Sicha, from Nilas Asandal. It's a day of complete withdrawal from physical activity and pleasurable physical activity. So that's only in that state can tshuva take place. Right, exactly, right. That's right. In the state of tshuva. And that is a prerequisite there too. The prerequisite is that there must be a certain